sower. Now, we're going to see something. Do y'all understand that that was the parable? Now, watch Jesus break it down, and I'm going to try to give you as many points as I can, and you're going to take note or make notes in your Bible or go back and get this and listen to it on the internet and do both. Amen. We're going to do that, aren't we? Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. You might want to underline that. It's a good point. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Right there he says again, I am the door. And in verse 11 he said, I am the good shepherd. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and knoweth my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I am alive for the sheep. There's so much here to preach. And the other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. That's us. That's Gentiles. I don't want to preach that either. Well, I do, but I can't. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. He's speaking of the resurrection. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Man, is that good or what? I know I usually don't read a whole lot of scripture like that, but that's so good. But now we're going to go back and we're going to graze, okay? Are y'all ready to do some grazing? Just like Thanksgiving, we're going to get what we want, right? Amen, preacher. Jesus makes two claims in this. He gave the parable and he said, there is a door, and he said, and there is a shepherd. Ain't it cool that Jesus can be the door and the shepherd? It's a multiple role God. He is the door. That means, hey, listen, you want to write this down. Jesus is the door or the access or the correct way to teach. Amen? He is the door. That means when somebody comes, when a good teacher comes, now we had Jesus who was the greatest teacher, but anybody who follows after Jesus will teach like Jesus or from Jesus, from the gospel, from repentance, from Calvary, amen, and it'll do some things. I'm not going to get into that yet, but I want to say this. Listen, he has said, I am the correct way to come in, amen. Now listen, that's where you want to pay attention right there. When somebody starts teaching and preaching, if they're coming any other way than Jesus, they're going to preach a bunch of other stuff that is important other than Jesus. Are y'all good? We'll get into more of that in a minute. I just want you to see that He is the door as well as He is the shepherd. Man, I'm glad God is everything. You might want to make a note right there and say, hey, Jesus can be everything in the story. Amen. He can be everything in the story. He don't have to just to be what we would say is the shepherd, okay? But He is the shepherd. And I love the shepherd because guess what? I've read this so many different ways. If you were in the desert area and you didn't have nothing around you, they would work out like thorns and thistles and brush, and they would build an arbor around the sheep, and they would lay themselves in between them and the sheep. They said if they could find a rocky area, they would do the same thing, and the only opening would be the shepherd who would lay himself in front of the door where the sheep couldn't get in and nothing could get in after them. Man, that's good. Amen? That's who Jesus is to us. That's not really what I came to preach, but if you can't hardly get into this without preaching some of that. Amen? God just showed it to me, but then I wanted to get into the false teachers. Look in verse 8 with me, verse 8. He said, and he calls them, all that for me are thieves and robbers, sheep do not hear them. Look at this. He breaks them down as thieves and robbers. Thieves, write this down. Thieves are people who make a living at stealing. They don't really do any harm. They just take stuff that's not theirs for gain. Okay? So a thief would come and they would take away, they wouldn't want to do you any harm. They just want to take your valuables. or they'd make sure you're not there, or you weren't looking, or they just slide up and take your wallet, or what the case would be. You understand that? But a robber is someone, if a robbery is in progress, most of the time a robbery has a violent side to it. It means that they come, and they're coming to do harm. Amen? But I love what Jesus calls them. He said they are thieves and robbers. A bad teacher, or a teacher who doesn't teach from Jesus Christ, who doesn't come through the door, guess what? They do some things. They're thieves and robbers. They have a multiple role. Let's see what thieves do. Thieves take away peace and security. I hope this don't happen. If you go home tonight and somebody's broke into your house and stole your stuff, please, Lord, don't let that happen tonight. Because some of y'all be like, that preacher. Listen, if you go home tonight and your house is broke into and you go in, I don't care. The robbers are not there. They're gone with your stuff. For nights and nights and nights and months and months and months and years and years and years, you're never going to have the same security. And you're never going to have the same peace in that home. Amen? Now, you can add some stuff to it, right? You can put up some security. You can buy a gun. You can do whatever you're going to do. But you'll always be thinking like, somebody is in here, right? And that takes away your security, right? And every noise, I want to tell a funny story right here so bad. When we first moved here to this, when we first moved here, God, Peyton, don't you tell no part of your story on this, okay? He's got something on me, man. I'm going to have to bribe him or something. But we moved here, and when we moved in the big house down in Dunlap, the first week we were here, I come up to Scott's house, imagine that, to watch a game. Melissa calls and said, somebody's breaking in the house. I'm like, call the police. I'm on my way. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a 20-minute drive. Well, 11-minute drive, right? See, well, anyway, we go down there, nothing's going on. The garage door's open, and the garage door's closed, right? I'm like, oh, man, you know. So that night, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, right? Am I right? 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning? I'm laying in the bed, asleep. Garage door opens. I jump up out of the bed. Grab a gun, and I'm in full combat mode. I'm just saying. I run down, out the door, down the thing, outside. I'm starting to think, what am I doing outside? 2 o'clock in the morning, right? And I'm scouring the whole neighborhood, and she's on the phone calling police, right? So I'm like, well, I hope they get here to pick up the body, you know? So I'm going through that. Courtney's downstairs, so we're going down there and checking, see what's, you know, are you all right? Oh, what's going on? Anyway. Come to find out, we've got a loose wire in our garage, right? And the garage, ever since the next 2 or 3 years we're there, every once in a while, you'd go in there and wiggle the wire, and it says, anyway. So that's, you have no peace. But, you know, for a while, we didn't have. I mean, until we realized what that was, you're sitting there going, man, somebody's trying to break in our house. You know what I'm saying? So you had no peace and no security. You have no peace, no security. So I said all that to tell you this. A false teacher who comes in will give you no security and no peace. No security. That means you don't have any security as a believer. You don't have any security in Christ Jesus. You don't have any security. You're always worried. You're always, I've got to do more. I've got to do better. I've got to do less. I've got to do more. Whatever the case may be. A false teacher will tell you all kinds of stuff to make you feel like you're less than what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. So it'll give you a false sense of insecurity. You'll be insecure. And your peace won't be there. Listen, being saved, I love this about being saved. I have a security and a peace in Christ Jesus that will not pass away. I mean, in the darkest, darkest day, it don't pass away. And I am trying that more and more, and some of y'all have already tried that more and more. It ain't going nowhere. Now, you can be afraid, you can be scared, you can be nervous, you can wonder, you can all that stuff. But when it boils all the way down, you'll find right there in Christ Jesus, you're like, man, I'm secure in what I know. Amen. I know what I believe. All right, and I got peace in that too. That's what false teaching does. It tears all that to pieces. Okay, a robber, what does it do? A robber, it scatters. It runs people off. So listen to this. It says the same thing. Like if somebody, don't do it again. Somebody come here. Hey, give me all your. The ones that could get away will get away. If somebody walks into Walmart tonight and pulls out a gun, there are going to be people running out of every exit at Walmart. Do you understand that? Is that a better illustration? Okay, so people are running out of the Walmart everywhere. That's what false teaching does too. It gives the ones that stay no security, no peace. Guess what it does to the other ones? They run off. Why? Because they're like, I can't do that. That's not possible. That's not, I can't see that. That's scary. I can't see how we do that. Do y'all understand that? Is that not good? Do y'all see how God broke that down? He said, all those that come in any other way except through what? The door. Can I preach about the door again? Say yeah, because I'm going to anyway. The door. It's Jesus. He said, I'm the door. So what is Jesus? Jesus is good, sound, fundamental teaching. Good, sound doctrine. Good, old preaching. Good, old teaching. What does that mean? Jesus can have a man come and get in this pulpit and preach hell hot. Is that true? You know what it does to me? It don't give me insecurity. It don't give me no peace. Like a lack of peace. And it don't send me running. You know what it does? It adds all three of those. It gives me great security. It gives me great peace. Amen? And guess what? It draws me closer. Amen? Are you okay? That draws me closer. Why? Because when you do it right and you teach it right, you understand I needed Jesus to stay out of that awful place. I needed His grace. And thank God I know Him. Amen? And that's what God does. And then I can get somebody to come in, or I can come in, and we're preaching Jesus Christ, we're preaching about heaven, about peace, about blessings. And guess what? It does the same thing. Every time you preach Jesus in the correct doctrine, in the correct way, it doesn't do any of those things. It draws you closer. Amen? You just say, well, here's what I say. When you sit under good preaching or good teaching, you sit there and go, come on. Come on, give me more. Amen? You get excited. You want to hear more. You want to know more. You want to draw closer. Amen? Good Bible teaching, good doctrinal teaching, good door teaching. If somebody comes through the door, what does that mean? Write this down. If somebody is sent through Christ or by Christ, that's the person you want teaching. I don't care if they got all the skill. I don't care if they've got all the knowledge. I don't care if they've got all the education. I don't care what they have or don't have, but they better be called and sent of God. Because they can have all those other things and not be called and sent of God, and they're going to scatter. They're going to break down your security. They're going to break down your peace. Amen? Does that make sense? I love God's Word when it does this, right? When you get to see it on this level. Now look, I want to see this. Go to verse 9 with me. The shepherd provides three things. Ain't this neat? Right in the middle of this Psalm, or John chapter 10, it says the shepherd provides three things for the sheep. Verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Listen what he does for the three things he does. Three things he does for the sheep. You might want to make a note right here in this little, three things he does for us. First of all, what does he do for the sheep? When they come into him, they shall be what? Saved. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. Saved. Write that down. S-A-V-E-N-D. Amen. Not in the process of saving. Not going to save. But saved. Man, I don't know about you. Golly, I know that's hard preaching. I know somebody gets, oh, listen, I like to know, amen. If I'm in the sheepfold, I'm saved, amen. If He is my shepherd, I am His sheep. He can do whatever He wants to me as a sheep, but I am a sheep, amen. And guess what? Once I entered into Him and He entered into me, I am in the sheepfold, and guess what? I am saved. And He said it right there. John chapter 10 is one of the best chapters to read to find the security of the believer if you want to read it. It's so good. Amen? But I want you to see it right there. They're saved. Every once in a while when you read that from now on and you get to verse 9, lift your little hand up and say, thank God. Amen? What else does it say to do? You're saved and you can go in and out. Whew. Hallelujah. What are you talking about? You can go in and out. In and out. That means you're not always fearful of, you can't get away from the shepherd. You can't get away from the church. You can't get away. Oh, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. I've got to keep this going. No, you know what you got? You've got such security that you can go out and operate for God in a broken, lost world and come back into the sheepfold. And you don't have to worry. Amen? You don't have to worry all the time. Y'all don't like it, but yeah, you do. You love it. I love it too. Listen, I love having a good father. Amen? I know what a good father is. A good father lets you know, I'm your dad. I've got a standard. I've got some rules. And as long as, my God, as long as you keep the standard and follow the rules, you're all right with me and I'm all right with you. Golly, did anybody in here got a good daddy like that? Had a good daddy? Now, you didn't want to break the rules. You didn't want to do something to embarrass him or do something to bring shame upon him, because then he would correct you. Amen? But as long as you were doing what you're supposed to be doing and he found you that way, it's the same operation your kids. If they're doing what they're supposed to be, you need some money? Y'all ever do that? Your kids are doing good. It might be one time a week. They're doing real good, right? You're like, do you need some money or something? And they're all like passing out. Hey, do you want some extra money? Do you want to? You want me to take you some? You want me to buy something for you? I mean, right now, your room's clean. You're not fussing and fighting. Looks like your everything's good. Can I be a blessing to you? Now, you understand? Go in and out. Man, I wish I wouldn't just break that all the way down to simple family stuff sometimes. But I want you to know, Christ wants you. He loves you. He wants you to live an amazing, abundant, full life. He didn't save you to set you down and not let you live your life. He wants you to live in such a way that you make people hungry and you make people thirsty for Him. Have you ever met somebody that's got a better family than you got sometimes, or you think they do? And it's like, I want to go spend the night at their house. They had the good little Debbies. Amen? They had the good snacks, or they had the good TV, or the good game system. I remember I didn't even have a game system. I went on from my had Atari, and I'm like, oh, Atari. Some of y'all don't know. Atari. You don't even know what that is, but it's all right. I remember the first game system I ever seen. I'm over at my friend. I'm like, we got to go. No. Stay in here forever, right? Stuff you want. That's what we do. People should see Christ in us so much that they go, you know what? I want what she's got. I want what he's got. You go in and out. You go into that spiritual place, into that hidden place, into your ministry, into your church, into that. Yeah, that's in. But when you're out there, you don't have to sit there and go, man, I just can't do it. I can't operate. I can't be. God's against me. No, he's not against you. He's for you. Listen to this. What's that last one? Find pastors. Is that the third one? It is. I studied this. I didn't study that message this morning, but I studied this one. Listen to this. Find pasture. Amen? That means he will constantly sustain you with spiritual food. You will never beg bread again. You will never be hungry for that spiritual thing again. You will never, if you stay focused and you stay listening to God, listen, I am never hungry for anything again spiritually. I used to cram everything this world had to offer into my life trying to meet that spirit. I thought, man, this will do it, that'll do it, this will do it, that'll do it. You know what? It did for like a day, a week, or maybe 2 weeks, but after that, I needed something else. But once I found Jesus Christ, oh my God, He will fill you up. He will satisfy you. Can I give y'all a side note? Some of you older Christians that are more mature Christians, can I give you something else right here? Say yes, somebody. All right, good. Check this out. If you find yourself in want or in lack of fulfillment with God, go back and do the first work again. No, listen to what I'm saying. Go back and read your Bible some more. Go back and pray some more. Go and get connected to God. Find some time for Him. Because I guarantee you, if you find yourself and say, well, the preacher's talking to them young preachers, them young kids, them young guys in the church. He's not talking about me, but I'll be honest with you, I'm not totally always spiritually full. You're not spiritually full because you've reached a plateau and you're satisfied with where you are in the relationship. Have you ever got there with anybody? But you can get there with God too. God, I'm saved and got a house, got a roof over my head, got some food on my table. Seems like everybody's doing okay. But I'm not full spiritually. Well, go back. Now listen, can I give you some more on this? I'm gonna keep digging right here if it's okay. Listen, when you do that, when you say, okay, I'm going to go read more, I'm going to go pray more, I'm going to get connected back to God, I'm going to go back and search my first love, guess what's going to come on the backside of that? I hate to tell you, the devil's going to attack you again. Amen? But I'd rather be full in Christ Jesus and Him meeting my spiritual need and have a little bit of attack from the enemy or a lot of attack from the enemy and not have that. Because a Christian without that fullness of Christ, it's kind of like a buoy in the water. You're just sitting there floating and nobody tells what's going on in your life with Jesus. You're not being effective. See, when you get saved and you're a Christian, you're supposed to be effective. You're supposed to affect change around you. Everybody that comes in your sphere should be affected by who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen? So, guess what? You're saved. If you're in the sheepfold, you're saved. Whew, praise God. You can go in and out. You have liberty and freedom in Jesus Christ. I love when people say, you ain't got no life. Dude, you got to be kidding me. You ain't got no life. I didn't have no life when I was living for the devil. Amen? I have life now, real life. And then that last one, amen, so spiritual. You will go in and go out and find power. That means you will be spiritual. The more, golly, I want to move home. Rondell, I want to move home, but I can't. Listen. The more you eat of Christ, the more you feast on Him, the more He is. I might preach too much, or I might study too much, or I might find... You can go back to the same scripture. I'm preaching John chapter 10. I've preached John chapter 10 50,000 times. This is like brand new to me. These three things right here are like brand new. You know what I mean? I've been doing this for a while, and guess what? I go back to Him like, well, golly, look there. Look at there. You know why? Because God says, you'll never get to a point where I can't give you something fresh. Amen? Ever. Y'all ready for some more points? Because I think I'm on like number... No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6. Y'all ready? I hope. Somebody might be counting right. Y'all ready? Let's go to verse 10. And I want you to tell you this. Make a note right here. This never changes. Write this down. This never changes. The three things that the enemy, a false teacher, or Satan, the three things never change. These three never change. You might want to write these down. And you young people, you might want to go back to this and make this a life verse. Okay? If you'll make this a life verse, put this somewhere, even on your phone, or somewhere you can read it often, because this never changes. Okay, I would want, if somebody could go back to me when I was 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, and then maybe 23, 24, 25, I would want somebody to tell me to make this my life verse, because this never changes. Y'all ready? All right, let's read. Let's get in it. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. Okay? Listen to this. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He never changes that. Write that down. That never changes. I don't care how good it looks. I don't care how good it smells. I don't know how good it tastes. I don't care how it makes you feel. I don't care what it looks like when you're driving it. I don't care. It does not matter what. That never changes. That never changes. That right there, the thief, Satan, false, that never, he don't ever say, I'm not going to steal from you. No, what he's doing is he's stealing even when it's good. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. Even when it seems, I shouldn't say it this way, even when it seems good. In that first period, you think, man, that first sin seems good for a season, right? It seems, even that time, he's stealing, right? Because even in that time, when you're getting what seems like what you want, when it seems like you're getting what you want, he's already stealing from you, right? Because people are seeing you, they're watching you, and your testimony's being stole out from right. They're like, wait a minute, they're with that, they're doing that, they're participating in that, they're there, they're driving, they're using. What you put a, you understand? And you don't think, because you think you're so much smarter, you're so much better, you're so much wiser, you're so much, you don't need anybody's input because they just don't know how good this is. Golly, I'm preaching to somebody in here, right? But he's still stealing, right? And he's still killing, right? That's his end goal, is he wants to steal, he wants to kill, and ultimately he wants to destroy. The enemy never sets aside and says, I'm going to let one person get away with it. I'm going to let one, man, I wish I had somebody sit down with me when I was a kid and tell me this. I'm going to let one, because everybody who's operating in sin thinks they're that one person that's going to, I'm different. You're not. You're not different. Nobody. The pastor's not different. The teacher's not different. The leaders are not different. The church members are not different. If we are not careful, he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. So guess what? If you are tempted into some kind of sin, you're, oh, this is the best thing ever. No, it's not. No, it's not. And it happens in churches just like it happens in the real world. Things come along and it looks like, oh, man. And then you get involved in it. And next thing you know, it's stolen your name. It's stolen your identity. It's stolen who you are. Guess what? Then it kills what? Kills everything around you. And ultimately, what it wants to do, and you want to write this down, what it ultimately wants to do is it wants to destroy you. And listen, I don't care if the whole world says, well, this is right. This is good. You ready? This is legal. I don't care if it's legal. Something being legal don't mean it right. It's right. And listen, let me preach this a little bit deeper because some of y'all got some stuff in your mind. Just because something's legal doesn't mean it won't take you to the place of destroying you. Amen? It won't take it. Just because it's legal, just because the government says or somebody says, it will not stop you from sitting in a hotel room with a gun in your lap thinking about ending your life. Don't stop that. I don't care how legal it is. I don't care how many people do it. Because there's a lot of legal things. When people do them, they got such regret and such shame that the devil takes them and says, there ain't nothing else to do to get away from this but die. Man, I can't tell you how many stories I have read where people who've been in hotel rooms or in cars who are going to commit suicide and absolutely turn the radio on and there's preaching and there's ministry and there's somebody and God's one more chance of sitting there going, hey. I preached on the radio down in Georgia for like 2.5 years, and one Sunday morning, listen to this, one Sunday morning, my dad calls me, and I'm riding, and he was just letting me know, goes, I heard you, I was up here in Athens, I could hear this, it went all the way up to here, and I'm like, that's awesome, that's great, and within a half a second, all of a sudden this guy says, hey buddy, I didn't push a button, I didn't change a call, I didn't receive a call, it didn't ring, it was, hey buddy, I'm like, hello? He goes, hey, you the one that's on the radio? I'm not kidding with the accent. This is straight up what it was. I'm like, yeah, I was on the radio. He's like, well, golly, buddy, you ain't going to believe this. I'm like, what? He goes, I'm a truck driver, and I was coming down through there, and I was in the Chatsworth Dalton area. I pulled over the side of the road, listened to classic country. I was on a classic country radio station. He went to sleep listening to classic country. He woke up listening to Crazy Preacher Man. He said, I've been drinking, I've been drugging, I've been doing this my whole life. He goes, and I woke up today and I thought, man, I'm ready to end my life. And he said, here you are on the radio. He goes, man, I committed my life to Christ. I said, I'm a truck driver. I'm probably never going to pass back through this way, but I know God used you this morning. And I said, can I blow your mind? He said, yeah, go ahead. I said, I never received this call. I never did. I was talking to my dad, just talking. Next thing you know, hey, buddy. That's how good God is. But I want to tell you that's what the devil does. That's his plan. I wanted to end right there, but I cannot end with that because that is wrong. Go to verse 10. Let's end this with the right way to end it. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. And just like a radio station, Just like a Bible open to the right verse at the right time. Just like somebody stopping by your house and sharing the gospel with you one more time. I am come. God. That they might have life. Amen? And that they might have it more abundantly. Has God ever done that for you? I hate to steal a frame. Life interrupted. Has God ever interrupted? Amen? Has God ever broke in? Right? When the thief was there to steal, when he was there to kill, and when he was there to destroy. Just one little, but I'm come. Amen? Golly, I'm glad that one day God interrupted my life and gave me an abundant life. Amen? A full life. Real life. Not life what I was hunting for. Because I had a list of things. Did anybody else have a list of things that you thought would make your life the greatest? Man, God just, He erased every bit of that. Amen? And gave me a whole nother life. And I've been living that life, and you've been living that life, you've been saved ever since then. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation. I hope y'all have been blessed by this.